courage lesson from Sunday school, and that's good. Psalms, we're going to be in the book of Psalm. I'm going to be in chapter 17. We're teaching, continuing on being psalmish, trying to be like the psalm expresses, and some little kid grabbed my water. It's somewhere in here. And so I had a cup of water. I'm down to the bottle of water now. All right. When I walked up here, I had a box under here with a bunch of magazines in it. That was slid out here somewhere, and my water's gone. So. Oh, okay. It was mine. So. All right. I poisoned all my stuff, you know, and I got the antidote. So, sorry, Chase. But, yep, I don't keep everything in the pulpit. I've learned don't do anything in the pulpit I don't want grabbed. And so, all right, Psalm 17. Tonight I'm going to talk about feeling special to the Lord. If you want to be psalmist, you need to feel special to God, because the psalmists felt special to God. And this is important, I think, with all the emotional, mental thought problems we have today. Feeling special to the Lord. Psalm 17, verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth forth out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Remember we talked about presenting a case before God in your prayers? This is gonna, he's going to begin to say, here's why you ought to answer my prayer, God. And he's going to present a case here. He says, let your eyes behold things that are equal, make things fair. Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about feeling special to God. Our Father, thank you that you're a personal God that cares about us. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can understand how you think about us. And your thoughts are wonderful toward us, and you're wonderful. You're an amazing God. And I pray this evening, Lord, we'd understand, Lord, just how great you are. And correspondingly, Lord, that we are special to you, Father. And I pray we'd grasp your thoughts and your mind on this thing so we can think right, Lord, and let us have the mind of the Spirit and have a renewed mind. We ask for your help in this, and we ask for you to speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have here in this passage an interesting phrase I like. In verse 8, it says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Keep me as the apple of your eye. That phrase is a very beautiful phrase. I want to read you a couple of verses that say that. Because we're talking about how the psalmist thinks they're special to God. And I hope you understand that you're special to God. You're not just another. You're not just someone out there. You're not just a number out there. You're not just some vague person out there that's one of the 7 billion out there. You're special to God, and God thinks about you personally. He says, keep me as the apple of the eye. The apple of the eye. The apple, the word doesn't mean anything special other than what you'd think it would mean. The center, the black spot in the eye, the very center of your eye. When you go and you take your kids maybe to, say, a playground or you go to McDonald's, they got the big play thing in there, you'll see a whole bunch of kids. Yet, you know you're watching your kid. You understand, you see all these kids, you see a bunch of kids, but really, the apple of your eye, the focus of your eye, is your kid. And the other kid can fall on his head and you laugh at that kid. But when your kid falls, you see your poor little thing and run up to help it. But no, you're not as mean as me. And you don't find humor in kids falling, do you? How many of you? Never mind, I won't ask. You the apple of your the apple of the eye, that one's special to me. That one I'm paying close attention to. And he says, God, keep me as the apple of your eye. We say that person's the apple of my eye. And he says, God, keep me as the apple of your eye. Otherwise, he says, God, I know that I'm special to you. You ever read the book of John and see how many times he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved, referring to himself. He says, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. And he refers to himself that. Now, I think Jesus loved everybody. Matter of fact, I think it's in the book of John, it says, for God so loved the world. And yet we see that though John knows that God loves the world, John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He says, he really loves me. He really cares about me. I hope that my kids know, as they're growing up, that every one of them is special, and every one of them is the apple of my eye. I hope that they always feel that, because God wants us to feel like the apple of his eye. Let me show you a couple of passages on this. Deuteronomy chapter 32, this phrase is used. It's used about four or five times in the Bible. We'll turn to a couple of them. Deuteronomy 32. And we'll look at verse 10. Talk about God's picking out Israel. He found him in the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. Deuteronomy 32:10. He led them about. He instructed them. He kept them as the apple of his eye. In other words, God said, I took Israel and I just kept them and watched them and wandered around. And everywhere they went, I was watching them. I was taking care of them. I was feeding them. I kept them as the apple of my eye. And he says this in Deuteronomy. And then if you want to turn there, you can. It's a little hard to find, but Zechariah, it uses the phrase again really beautifully. Zechariah in chapter 2. And verse 8, Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me into the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand against them and shall spoil their servants. God said, if somebody touches you, they touch the apple of my eye. You're the apple of my eye, Israel. And so back to Psalm here in chapter 17, he says, keep me as the apple of the eye, Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. How did the psalmist feel special to God? First of all, he saw himself as the apple of God's eye. And understand, God thinks of you very special. And this person, of course, was a godly living person. He was said, you know, you've searched me, God. You know me. You know I'm living for you. You know my life is yours. And keep me as the apple of your eye. Take care of me. I have enemies. I have problems. But Lord, you're paying attention. The playground's full of kids, but I'm the apple of your eye. And understand that God pays 100% attention to everybody. And those who are serving him, the Bible says the wicked he knows afar off. But it also says he's near unto those that are his. So he thought of himself as the apple of God's eye. And maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like I am very unique to God, and I'm very fortunate because God has called me and chosen me and has a job for me, and I'm very special to God, and God has something that I am so privileged to be a part of because I am somebody that God has chosen. And by the way, that's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. And I want you to understand, those that are God's are the apple of his eye. He says, keep me as the apple of your eye. So first of all, we feel special to God because we're the apple of the Lord's eye. Secondly, the Lord delighted in him. They felt like the Lord delighted in him. In Psalm chapter 18, just a little forward there from where we are in verse 19. Howbeit, he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I want to teach you something that's mistaught doctrinally. In the Bible, I believe, and I don't want you to think I'm teaching wrong doctrine here. I believe there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I understand we're all sinners. We all come short. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've gone every man to his own path. I understand we're all sinners. I understand we all deserve to go to hell. I get that. I understand that. But why don't you understand this? In the Bible, God is pleased with people. Okay? God talks about, in Revelation, hey, they're wearing white clothing, which is the righteousness of the saints. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever. It was God who said, consider my servant Job. And God called him a perfect and upright man. What I'm saying here is God can say, you're doing good. You're living right. I understand. And by the way, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Pull that verse into context. He was referring to a wicked nation. He was condemning them right then. You, Israel, say you're righteous, but your righteousness is like filthy rags. That verse is not speaking of everybody. That was talking about Israel at that time, and their righteousness was that. I do believe that we can live for God. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit can be in us. I believe the Word of God can cleanse us. And I believe God can look at you and say, I delight in you. And you can please God. And by the way, that's a biblical term. He had this testimony that he pleased God. There's lots of Bible, lots of people in the Bible where God is impressed with them. Jesus bragged on John the Baptist. Okay? I want you to understand this because I think sometimes because people take your righteousness as filthy rags, you can never do anything to please God. That's not biblical. And I want you to understand this. You can please God. And don't sit here and say, well, I'm just nothing. I'm wicked. I can't do anything right. I'm terrible. I'm so ungodly. There is a certain way that there's a reverse pride where I understand I'm so good. God's lucky to have me. I understand when you have that attitude, you need to be reminded of a few things. Okay, I understand that. And I understand before we were saved, we were nothing. But there's also an opposite wicked pride that all you do is sit there and moan about yourself. I'm so wicked. I don't deserve anything. I'm so bad. God didn't like me. And all you're doing is thinking about yourself all the time. You never think about God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's power. And all you do is think about yourself so much. It's also pride. Listen, the devil kicks me enough. I don't need to kick myself. I go to God, I confess my sin, and I move on. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. And he says, God delights in me. You know what? You go out and win a soul to Christ, God will be impressed. He'll be happy. You go pray and spend some time with God today, God will say, I like that. You go off and today and you spend some time loving on somebody or praying or reading your Bible, God's going to say, I like that. I'm impressed. Even you can't even give out a cup of cold water that I don't reward. I'm paying attention. So don't sit here and say, I'm so wicked, I can't do anything right, I can't do anything good. Listen, you're at church on Thursday night. God likes that. That's pretty impressive. You know how many Christians don't go to church on Thursday night? By the way, you know how big a crowd this is for a Thursday night? You know, brother, we run 100 people on Sunday morning, and we have 50 on Sunday night. That's a pretty good percentage. Matter of fact, most churches don't have midweek anymore. And Sunday nights are all going away too because nobody comes. You know what? God can delight in you. Just do what he wants you to do. And don't act like you're confused. Well, what am I supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, give up your sin, quit killing people, Pretty simple stuff. Don't rob banks. Don't beat up old ladies and steal their purse. Quit cussing, quit drinking, turn off the television, don't look at pornography, don't be drunk. It's not too hard. It's not rocket science. Love your neighbor, pray, win a soul to Christ. God's pretty simple. Don't let the devil confuse things. Just do it. Do what's right. Live holy, live righteous, love the Lord with all your heart. You'll be fine. God will be delighted in you. He says, God delighted in them. In me, verse 19, he brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Number three, why did he feel like with God he was special to God? Number three, he felt like God watched him closely. Let's go to Psalm 139, and we'll spend a lot of time in Psalms 139 because it's a beautiful chapter about a man who understood how God feels toward him. And when he grasped that, and a great verse in Romans 8 says this, but he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If God didn't love you and want good for you, why in the world did he give his son? I mean, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father who is perfect give good things to them that ask him? If you love your children, want to do good things to them, you're a fallen creature. God is not fallen. How much good do you think he wants to do for you? God is on your side. You may make it so he can't bless you. I understand that. You may make him get back mad so he punishes you. But you know why he punishes you? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God's for you. He gave his son for you. And if you ever had someone you loved who wouldn't do right and you wanted to strangle them, yes, God feels like that sometimes. And we frustrate him, I understand. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. But understand, it's not because he hates you. He loves you unconditionally. Amen. God commendeth his love toward us now while we're yet sinners. The psalmist said, he watches me closely. Psalm 139, verse 1. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest, surroundest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He said, God follows me very closely. He knows all about me. You know my downsittings and mine uprisings. You know God watches you while you're asleep, watches you go to bed, watches you get up in the morning. He knows your thoughts afar off. And he said, you know what? God is paying attention to me every moment, every day. And I guess if you're not living right, and I guess if you got the wrong attitude about who God is and you think God's mean, then I think that you may say, that's mean. Why does he watch me all the time? But the psalmist found comfort in that. He said, Lord, you're watching me every minute. And he said, I'm so glad you're paying attention and taking care of me and watching me. That's a good thing, not a, he's watching me. See, the light says some men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they won't come to the light lest their works be made manifest. But if you love the Lord and you're living for God, you're not upset that God's looking at you. You're saying, I'm glad, God, you're watching me. By the way, after a while you say, God, I'm glad you're watching because nobody else knows I'm doing the right thing and you're keeping track. And the Lord is watching and he was delighted because he watches you very closely. This afternoon, I had a couple of my kids at home, and Timmy, Tiffy, and Rana are with me, and so Rana wanted to go outside all day, and so I thought, well, I'm getting ready to study for a while, so I took Rana outside with me, and Rana's just the cutest little thing, and Rana, you're very cute, you know that, and Rana's just the most adorable little girl, and so I took one of those little foldable chairs and plopped it outside and sat down with the Bible and said, okay, Rhonda, you're going to work. And she said, okay. And so I had to pick up a bunch of where we chopped wood, every little piece of wood she would take and stack there. But, you know, 2.5-year-old ADD kicked in after a while. And so she got bored. But I couldn't stop watching her. She was so cute. I couldn't study, and I kept watching her. And then she was looking around, and she said, ooh, a bug. I said, oh, that's your new job. You're going to kill the bugs. And there was ants. We had these ants that from the wood there, and they crawl by, and they come by. And so then she started watching the ants. And she, you insect lovers, plug your ears. But those big carpenter ants, I said, those are your job. Kill the ants. And there was work for her. But I started to study, but she was so cute. I see another one. Ew. And, ooh, it's still crawling. Ew. And she was so cute, I couldn't quit paying attention to her. And I just kept watching. I thought, this is not going to work. I like her too much. I like watching her too much. She's too cute. So you know what? I quit studying. I gave up. So I only got a 0.4 and then we're done tonight. But we had to study later. And, you know, the thing is it's just like that kid at the playground. God is watching you in a loving way. He cares about you. And he says, you know my uprisings, my downsittings. You know my thoughts afar off. You're watching everything with me. Nothing's going to come by accident. Nobody's going to cut me off and kill me without you knowing about it. God, you're filtering my entire life and you're paying attention and nothing's going to catch you unaware. I am just fine because the God of the universe is paying close attention to me and he watches me closely. Next, the Lord was all around him. That's what he felt. He felt, I feel like God's all around me, and I feel special to God. Verse 3, thou compassest, that surrounds, my paths and my lines down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before. You're in front and behind of me, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Isn't that a pretty phrase? It says God, I mean, says God has just, he's laid his hand upon me. See, God says, he says, you know what? I like God. He's in front of me. He's behind me. He's surrounded me. He's laid his hand upon me. And I feel like God. I'm special to God. That's the way he felt. And by the way, I think if you grasp the way God feels, you'll love him a lot more. And if you love me, you keep my commandments. We love him because he first loved us. I think a lot of people aren't very good Christians because they don't understand God. Oh, I understand God. He's a Trinity, and he's the God of heaven, and they're Jesus, Father, Son. I'm not talking about that. You don't understand he's a father who loves more than you love anybody in the world. And he cares about you, and he'd give his life for you. And he wants to be best friends with you. And so you got to understand God and his nature and who he is. And this psalmist understood that. Psalms 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalm 34:7. So God says, I'm all around you. And the psalmist felt that that was the case. Number 5, his presence was ever with him. These are some of the most beautiful verses in the entire Bible. Psalm 139, verse 6, down through verse 12. Such knowledge, after he said he lays his hand upon me, he's all around me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Or whither or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That beautiful. If I want to get away from God, I can't even flee if I wanted to get away from God's presence. Boy, you talk about security of the believer. He says, if I wanted to flee from your presence, I couldn't do it, God. If I went to the darkest pits of hell, you're there with me. If I went up to heaven, it wouldn't matter. If I went to the grave, it doesn't matter. If I went in the middle of the ocean, behold, you're there, and you're with me, and you love me, and your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I have God with me all the time, he said. Boy, that's great. I'm so glad the Great Commission starts and ends with Jesus' power and Jesus being with us always. Amen. Wherever we go, whenever I go to a foreign country on a mission trip, doesn't matter where I am, I know that God's with me. And boy, you know what? I've been to some pretty odd places and pretty far places. You know what? God was with me. And it's so good to know that because he feels like he felt special to God because he felt like God was always with him. And it didn't feel like that. It was doctrine. It was truth. It was real. And his doctrine became his emotion and how he felt towards God because of how God felt towards him. Next, the Lord is with him all along, his whole entire life. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all thy works, and that thou knowest right well. My substance, my makeup, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. As I was fearfully, wonderfully made, in my mother's womb you covered me, and before I was ever born, you covered me and knew me and formed me, and you made me into something special. And you were there at the very beginning. When I was in my mother's womb, you covered me. He knew that from the very beginning. I want to say this. if you haven't grasped this yet, if you think back in your life, you're going to understand something. You're going to understand that God had foreknowledge. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he justified, them as a glorified, Romans 8. He says, God foreknew you're going to get saved. I know in my case, everything I went through, though I wasn't saved, though I wasn't around saved people, I understood this. God planned things. He kept me from dying, for one thing. He also worked in my life in such a way where I'd meet the right people. He moved me to the right neighborhood. He caused my unsaved mom to move to the right neighborhood a mile from a church that'd be starting with just the pastor I needed. He moved across the street, a young man who'd become my friend, who would eventually become a Christian, and a very bold Christian who witnessed to me. He kept me from things that would have destroyed me. He brought me, and you can start seeing, if you look back at your life and say, you know what, God has ordered my steps, even though I wasn't saved. Why? Because in your mother's womb, he was there. He knew you're going to get saved. He knew what you'd need. How many people I met who were unsaved and married for carnal reasons, but they found out later they married the right one. Many of you in this room. God gave you the right one. You didn't plan it out right. But you know what? God said, you know what? I'm not going to let you mess this up. Because I was there when you're born. I know what you're going to do. I know what you'll need. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a taste for this, and I'm going to put you this. I'm going to move you into this situation. And you know what? You may not even known God at the time, but God knew you. God knew you, even if you did not know him. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Next, he felt special to God because he knew the Lord personally designed him. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, verse 14. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. I was formed. Ye formed things purposely. You form me in the lowest part of the earth. The Lord personally designed him. I used to have so many insecurities before I was saved. I had so many emotional problems about who I was and the way I was wired and the way I was made. And then I was just a product of who I was around in the world and society and culture and the culture out there that told me what I was supposed to be, and I was trying to be something I wasn't even. Then I got saved, and I started getting around God, and I started becoming the person that God designed me to be, which is what I was the whole time, but now I wasn't being told by the entertainment industry and the movie industry and pop culture what I was supposed to act like and who I was supposed to be. And I found out who I was. You know, I didn't know I was introverted until I was saved. I was just, being introverted, you can't be popular, and I want to be popular. And you got to be outgoing, all those things. And finally, I figured out how I was. You know what I found out? I was strange. You know why? Because I'm unique. And you know what? God made me for a certain job. And all the things about me that at first I thought, boy, I'm kind of different, I found out, boy, I'm glad I'm different. God made me for something special. Amen. You know, a bulldozer is different. Mm-hmm. A bulldozer is made way different than a Ferrari. And you know what? A Ferrari doesn't push dirt very good. A Ferrari's made better, not if you have to push dirt. Amen. You know what? A lot of things are made a lot different for reasons, and they're all good. You were made fearfully and wonderfully. God designed you. You are an original model. You're patented in heaven. You're the one God made for a job. You were made special. Why was I so short? Why was I so tall? Why was I this? Why? And by the way, I'm not talking about what you mess up. God made a small model. You made it big by too many, you know, pizzas and pop at night. I understand that. You increase the size of your model. I understand you can ruin things, and you smoke two packs of cigarettes for 50 years and say, why did God make me with cancer? God didn't do that. However, understanding, God made you a special designed, a wonderful thing. And don't get upset about it. If you get in the will of God, you will say, that's why I'm made like this. Wow. I am a bulldozer, Ferrari, crane. I'm whatever I am, but I'm special. I'm made just right. and God made me this way. He knew God personally designed him. God never says, oops. There is a lot of combinations in your DNA pattern. You understand that? There are so many combinations in your DNA pattern you could have been like. And God picked out what you're going to be like. Accept it. And say, you know what? God, I don't know why you made me like this, but you made me like this. I'm going to accept it. And all of a sudden, you'll feel a freedom and you'll find a purpose. And you just serve God and you'll find out God made you just right. Next, they felt special to God because he said, God thinks about me. God thinks about me. Verse 17, Psalms 139. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How precious, verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. He says, you know what? God, if I numbered all the thoughts you have toward me, I could never number them. You know God thinks about you all the time. Amen. You have somebody you think about all the time. And by the way, there's different reasons you can think about people. You know, people you really love, you think about all the time. People you're concerned about, you think about all the time. People who are the most important people, you think about most of the time. And yet God has omniscience, and he thinks all the time about him. And the psalmist said, he thinks about me all the time. Your thoughts are more than the sand of the sea. How many times do you think about me? God, you're thinking about me all the time, aren't you? Boy, it's good to feel special to somebody. Don't you hate when you thought somebody knew you and thought about you and liked you and you walk up to them and they, who are you again? You ever have that? And you thought, oh, I thought I was special to them. Yet God has the ability to make everybody who wants be the one that he says, you're my, and I just think about you all the time. That's what you can be to God. God has the ability to do that. Next, the psalmist thought that he leads me personally. Psalm 23, and it's familiar, but he just thinks that this psalmist loved God because of how God personally led him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you not think that he thought God had his personal shepherd? Which is exactly what he's saying in that passage. He didn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He said, Lord is my shepherd. That's what he said. And he said, you know what, God? You're leading me personally. I love that old song. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. And God personally leads you and says, come here, let me show you where to go in life. In other words, the psalmist, if you want to have the psalmish mindset, if you want to think like the psalmist, understand that you are very special to God. You're very important to God. God has a big plan. God has you in mind. God says, I'm thinking about you all the time. You're mine, and I know about you, and I formed you, and I'm with you all the time, and I'm all around you, and I'm watching you closely, and I delight in you, and you're the apple of my eye. I think tonight it's time for some Christians to change their attitude about how God feels about them. Quit listening to what the devil has told you. God is not against you. But you know what? Sometimes we think that, don't we? God's trying to get me. That's why everything's... No. If he led you there, if you're his, it's for a reason. God loves you more than... Who do you love more than anybody in the world? Would you want them to suffer and be miserable for no reason? You understand God loves you way more than that. You're a fallen creature. God has unlimited love. If God loves like that, he's for you. More than you love anyone in the world, and we love some people pretty deeply, don't we? God loves you more than that. He's for you. Don't think wrongly about him. Be psalmist and realize you're special to God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you Lord, that we could turn to Psalms 136, His mercy endures forever. And the devil is going to bring up in some people's minds tonight, Father, oh, but I'm so wicked, I'm so unworthy. And Lord, You knew that before You died for him, that You still loved him. Lord, help us understand just how much "for God so loved" means. And help us today to realize that we can be the apple of Your eye. And Lord, if some of us are living in sin and living wickedly so that You're having to chastise us and You do get angry with us sometimes, Father, help us to get out of that so we can have God feeling loving and friendly toward us. And Lord, that we would not be under Your anger, but under Your love. Lord, You love us all the time, but sometimes we're distant because of our sin. Help us to be right with You. And help us, Lord, just to realize that You're for us and You love us. And You see somebody You care about that You made for a job and You knew us a long time ago. You've been there for us the whole time. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.